At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, live on the stream? Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Orman. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. If you didn't hear before, the Royals are about to get it on here at 5 live. They are hot and heavy into the playoff race, or potentially making it into the playoffs. So make sure if you're listening to the radio live, tune in to 93.7 The Ticket, like always. But then if you're on the stream, you get a little bit of bonus time. We can go as long or as short as we want. But obviously, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show, we're going to get into a little bit of it today. I guess Tuesday is the coordinator audio. Monday's usually the head coach, and Tuesday is the coordinators. And obviously with the game on Friday and the weekend off, people have been waiting to see or to hear what was being said. So what do we got first, Austin?
I assume you want Tony White first, right? Defense,
sure.
Always.
Yeah, always.
Here's Tony White taking responsibility for a lot of the stuff that happened, especially down near the goal line.
That's 100% on me. The guys will tell you that's on them and all that stuff, but that's on me. You know, they had a really good goal line scheme. We didn't show them where they run out to the line of scrimmage and they had the big body, and then he was going back and forth between 75 and 94, and didn't spot him, so didn't cover him on the fourth and two. Should have been our ball. And then on the goal line, they ran up and they hid their wide receiver right up behind the center, and then they snuck him out there, and Giff saw him and he got picked. Again, good scheme by them. Did not show them all the trickeration down there in the goal line. So when that stuff happens, the first person to blame is myself, for not showing them that exact look. But it's now how are we going to respond to those things? Because you put it on tape, so now you're going to see that kind of stuff. So you can bet we're working on that stuff.
Yeah, it was the tackle eligible play actually goes all the way back to last year against Wisconsin. Wisconsin did that against Nebraska, I think. I wasn't, the rules and the pros, it doesn't really matter. You just got to just obviously wipe your chest, as we saw with Detroit and Dallas, and then you're eligible. So it doesn't matter the numbers. And obviously in college, you have to switch jerseys. You got to give it up to Tony White to, I guess I wouldn't say falling on the sword, taking the responsibilities. The one I was more interested in was more or less the one that they scored at the north end. That was probably like trick plays and trying to catch you by surprise and pick plays. You tip your hat and that's like, all right, you got us. You kind of fooled us twice. But the one that was probably more concerning, or not concerning, the one I was more interested in was the one that where they threw it to the tight end on the seven cut, or which is, if you don't know what a seven cut is, it's just a corner route. You just go up, then obviously you go to the back pylon. I don't think he covered that one. And so that was probably that was definitely a lack of communication, spatial awareness, X, Y, and Z. one with the pick. I don't even think it's, you could just say, you just got, you know, you just got, they should have probably called it a legal pick because it was actually a real pick. It wasn't a ghost route. So a ghost route, what happens in a lot of on those plays, you see it this weekend, you'll see it in the pros. They'll run right at you like they're going to pick you or block you and then keep going to kind of slow you down, get your eyes all confused. The guy from Illinois just straight up picked him.
Something else Tony White talked about was the edge, right? Emotionally, was it the same against Illinois? We said not. Here's Tony White's interpretation of the energy.
That's why they went out there today and wanted to compete. You know, that was the thing. And again, I know there's a lot to it, but, you know, I put it on myself because, you know, you're calling the game in the first half and you're telling them, hey, I you guys ain't going to run the ball, and they're not running the ball. I mean, they're not running the ball. It was really the third downs that kept the flipping the field and kept them on there and all the plays and stuff after that first drive touchdown. And then, you know, you change it and say, hey, let me go after the quarterback a little bit more. And all those seams open up. And now you're like, okay, you know, now you're kind of playing chess with the guy and stuff like that. So, you know, half of that is on me. And then half of it is making sure that, again, we put those guys in those positions to go make plays, and that we got to give them the confidence to go out there and play, man. You know, they're not going to always be 100%, but the prideful thing about that is guys play so damn hard and so damn physical that they make up for those errors. You know what I mean? And just didn't feel like that chip on the shoulder, that edge was there like that. So
do you find yourself, is it more the result or is it the setup that you game study more? So first touchdown to the left end of the state, to the
north
end. There was conversation earlier about whether that is one where Singleton should help, or whether there's some expectation of just single coverage all the way up the whole wide receiver.
Is that the one where Bullock had the guy in the flat and the guy was wide open? That was the one you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, he literally ran. It was Tommy.
In the that one ain't got nothing to do. That's, you got cover.
Yeah. Okay. So it is that. There's no other, you didn't miss a scheme. You didn't miss anything. You don't expect help. If you get it, great, but you're not expecting.
Yeah, you never play. There's one thing I learned, though. You never, when you're in man-to-man defense or any type of zone that's pretty much a man, cover three, cover four, you got a guy out there. If it's six, cover four or cover six is a combination of two and four. You can run cover eight, whatever it is, you stick him.
And with there being no other receivers on that half of the field, isolated on purpose, with a safety sitting at.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it and see what the coverage is. But I know from my experience, I can't speak for anybody else. If I'm in that situation, I'm last thing I'm going to do is let you catch it, or at least give you an easy catch.
Yeah. It looked.
The easy thing to do is like, I got safety help. Well, dang, a lot of times if you depend on safety help, you ain't going to get it. Right? Yeah. You're just not. That's just, I've been in plenty of defenses, and this was the most frustrating thing about Vic Fangio. And I think he had to learn this by getting let go and going to coach under a coordinator at Baltimore, was you can't leave players out to dry if they don't actually have the help. You got to play different. You got to play actually from a second level. You have to play everything top down. You can't play underneath with you trying to run with Dallas Clark, with you trying to run with Derek Mason from a second level. It just won't work out. I mean, if you could expect safety help, sure. Sometimes, you know, to be honest with you, we used to run a defense in Buffalo. We'd have a call against the backside, depending on if it was the boundary or the field, or just depending on what the matchup was. We would be running cover two or cover four, and it would be somehow they got 3-by-1, especially against the Jets. And this is where, you know, guys make a lot of hay, and we used to do it actually against Austin's Colts. We couldn't do it as much when they had Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. Yeah. And we had good player, really good player, not so good. Right? Yeah. He's like, all right, we got you.
But yeah, you're finding the matchup.
Right. But then when I went to Houston, we could do that because we had Aaron Glenn, Marcus Coleman. We could just play man. Matter of fact, we did it against the Dolphins, and that's how we ended up winning. So what happens is when you're backside 3-by-1, we used to give a call called Clue, and it was just like a hang loose sign. So essentially what that would mean is we would still look cover two, but then on the snap, he would at least, he would play more of a head up to inside and then play everything. So you, so the sideline became his over the top helper defender. You get what I'm saying? And so I don't know what it, you know, what happened on that play. That was the first touchdown. And that's, you know what, they got you. They, you know, you can get beat. They can hit you with a double move. You can kind of, you know,
there's definitely a double move.
Well, you, that, that happens. You can get, you can bite on a double move. They got it. And, you know, potentially they might have been playing against your normal coverage techniques to get that double move. Okay, they got you. What was the down on the goal line is imperative. Yes, I appreciate Tony White saying, okay, this is our, you know, that's what you want, right? As a coach, to be in there, take responsibility and all that. I know as a player, and I'm probably more on the players figuring out, because you're out there so long, you've played so much football together. This is a great opportunity. You have to be on it. You have to be on it. Yes, they came out and they can hide stuff, but it's still the same principles. You still know who's eligible, who's not. You still see a guy at the end of the line of scrimmage, right? You know, he's, first of all, you know, if he's at the short side of the field, they ain't running there with him. If they're going to run, they're going to run to the wide side of the field because they're going to want to try to get an edge if you're, you know, if you're destroying him at the line of scrimmage. So I think it was Illinois hit on every trick or tricky play. I think they were aided in that last overtime touchdown by an illegal pick. That's a complete 100% missed call. Okay. We agree on that. That's factual. Cause if you 99% or high 90% will say, okay, that is, I think we really, really need to focus on what came before that. You know, that the long run and overtime. Yes, I understand the second half, you tried to get after the quarterback a little bit, but you still, you know, had some guys that, you know, probably needed to have a couple plays back.
It was constant that you could see adjustments being made.
Well, it's a chess match.
Right.
But ultimately, you played chess before, right?
Yep.
Okay. And we've all played chess before. Or you've just been in a match where you're maybe on your heels, but you also got to make sure that you got to figure it out, because I'm a big believer in this. If there's not a perfect, I mean, there's sometimes there's the perfect call for the perfect play, where every call has holes in it. Every single call has holes. Every offensive call has holes in it. There's always a what if. They could catch us here. You always try to minimize the damage. And you got to understand that as a player. And you have to know situational football. I have to minimize damage. I have to understand sometimes if I have a lineman out there and as we're out in space, I have to survive until my guys get there and we can rally. That's the next step that if this defense takes, they can go to the next level, where you're playing the game within the game and everything is like a small, like, I guess, you know, they used to have those short movies before they had movies. Every play is like a short movie into the big movie. And the big movie would obviously be the holistic part of the game, the whole time that you're out there as a defense. But the short movies are winning situational football, winning the odd plays, not striking out completely against the tricky plays, and making some plays off schedules. Now, they did get a couple turnovers. So you like that they had the competitive edge and kept playing, that they didn't give up. And then they got the fumble and gave us a chance to go and win the game. So it wasn't all bad. We have to, it's almost like a golfer with their driver. You know, you want to have your worst miss be findable and not in the lake or in the trees. And so
that's the same concept as on your worst day, you got to be 85% plus, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and Illinois was 100% on their best day. That's the best they played. Now, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team.
What are they, 18 now?
19, 18, depends. They're a good team. But the win by 7 on the road, they had to play that game because the way that they approached this game, and we had the texture yesterday, they were highly motivated. Those coaches and some of the players knew that was a must-have game for them because Penn State's coming right down the pipe. And so when you're coaching like that, that's why you pull out all stops. They're not gonna, they wouldn't do that against Penn State. They know that they had to do this on the road. And those are some of the things you have to learn as a player. You have to look at, again, what do I always say? You look at the coordinator, you look at the head coach, you look at the situation that you're going into. You want to go back to last year. You play on the road against Michigan State. We needed to go to the bowl game. It's a very winnable game. They got senior day. They're not throwing for first downs. Everything that new quarterback is that's down in Arizona State, he's, because why is he doing it? He knows he's going into the portal. That kid, right?
Show off.
So he's trying to show off his arm to say, you know what? I have good tape. So you have to understand that as a player. A coach can't always hold your hand and give you 50 million things and say, you got to look like, look, all right, I'm playing the game, dude. Like, understand, these dudes ain't going to just sit there and run 10-yard stops against us. They're trying to go deep. The receivers are trying to go deep. Everybody's trying to go deep. A running back is not going to run out of bounds and try to save the clock. They're going to return almost every single kick. So when we're covering punts, you better know that they're going to try to return every kick because they're going to try to put, you know, film together to get to another school.
Yeah, the coverage side of it is that there's that flaw. And to hear the coordinators both talk about the chess match, that sometimes you have to acknowledge that, yeah, you spend more time going back and forth with the between the sidelines than you do actually on the field. And that plays a big part of it. And they both got caught up in it.
Yeah.
Tony White talked about the philosophy shift from the first half to the second half for Nebraska. Here's the defensive coordinator.
You know, you knew they were going to run the ball. So again, the first plan is to go out there and make sure they knew that they can't run the ball on you. And so when at the spots we felt like, hey, they're running the ball, we were mixing up the looks and bringing extra guys and stuff. And again, you know, they got whatever it was, 40 yards at the half or something like that. And then just went away from that to try to affect the quarterback a little bit more and get in a rhythm for third downs a little bit more. And like I said, a couple of those runs slice up in there and then had some MAs and all that stuff. So definitely, you know, started mixing it up a little bit more.
When you know.
That happens. I mean, that's in part of what like we talked about yesterday, what makes it look like they were able to really pound the ball was explosive runs. And it's a double explosive run when you do get caught, right? We used to call it, got smacked on the butt. That happens. They're a capable team. They have good players. They're a good team. So they're going to get you sometimes. They're going to call the right call. They're going to win the chess match. They're going to have that move, right? And they're going to, you know, their pawn is going to maybe get one of your jacks or queens or whatever you want to call it. But then guess what happens after? You got a 15-yard face masking penalty. It's uncalled for. If you're coming that close and you got two guys hitting them, get in there and get, we used to call it get wet. Jump in there and stick your face in there or whatever. No, don't want you get targeting, but get your pads hot. You know, get a hit on him. Well, you stuck your hand in there, and you got caught with a 15-yard penalty. So now it's like a double explosive run. That means, and so say the run was 18 yards. And say, I think, give or take, big shout out to my man headed to football practice right there. He already got his mouth guard in and his helmet in there. Yeah,
he's riding down the street ready.
Ready to destroy somebody. Just say they, in the one run I'm talking about before the play that Hartsaw got the 15 yard face mask, just say that that's a good run, and say they go from the 50 to the 36, right? So then you add 15 more on there. Now they're at the 21. So as a coordinator and as a, say, extension of the coordinator, middle linebacker, I'm like, oh crap! You know, the best thing that we're like field goal or butt. We're against it now, and it was even deeper than that. I think they were close to like the 12 after that. You know, like after that penalty. So now you're like, okay.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards.
we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If we have one missed tackle, one phenomenal play, we give up 7 points. Well, if you're at the 30-something yard line or even the 20-something yard line, you have a little bit more leeway and you can rally to hold them to three. So that's why when we talked about control the controllables, but you can't, you know, like get the, you know, I know MJ Sherman was like, I guess, punching at the ball. Dude was on the ground. I don't know what he was punching, but he was punching at the ball. Okay.
That's 50. Literally what it looked like.
He looked like he was punching him.
Yeah.
But he was probably punching
him. No, it looked like he was punching at the ball.
Yeah.
Like football now, IQ, you're looking at it and you see he's punching at the ball.
The ref was a little overzealous with that.
Yeah.
Right? But those are the things you would rather not punch at the ball, maybe try to rake it out. Now, that's – you're in the moment. He's actually doing what we want to do. They put an emphasis on trying to create turnovers. Can I really get mad at you about it? No. But let's also try to have a little bit of situational, more situational awareness. But with that there, it's a controversial call. I still don't think – I think if they called it that Illinois didn't get the first down, I don't think that there's enough evidence to turn it to a first down. This is the way it usually goes, that it has to be head and shoulders clear that they didn't get it. So now you add 15 more plays. So that was right at the 50.
How is this much happening? And this was the thing that was being talked about in the media box. How are so many of these moments still happening with all the technology that exists?
Because the refs don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, but the whole point is that they should want to be right. Like you can't manage the game.
Because paychecks are on the line.
Well, but to get it right.
No, but it's not. If you got that call wrong, you get docked. You're not calling big games. That affects your bottom line.
Yeah, but then get it right. You should use that like a player. Get it right.
Yeah, but it doesn't benefit them. Majority of the time to get it right. Now, if they were full-time employees, sure, they're not full-time employees. That'd be something that they need to address. You know, maybe have the referee and the ump and maybe the back judge be full-time and everybody else be same with the crew. So then that way they can coach their crew up week in and week out and then be.
But don't they work on the same crews now?
No. It can vary.
For the Big Ten. I thought for the Big Ten, there's a collection of officials.
Yeah, but you could be mixing around. You need the guys that you need people that know it's got to be full time because you have to make sure you have to take that part out of the game.
And there's enough money for them to be full time.
Like I'm sure.
There's enough money. And I know that the rule was, I know state of Virginia, state of Texas, that they would have the same leaders of a crew, and then you would rotate everybody else so that you don't get into shenanigans.
Yeah,
same crew working.
Yeah, same games, you know, and you got some personal stuff. Yeah.
Yep. So
it's got to be a little bit more consistent. And I will say this: the refs didn't make or break the game, but I also know that when you watch NFL games, a lot of them you see like, how did that call not get overturned? That's why the rule is in there. It has to be clear and cut for them to overturn it. I don't think they got the first down. In that play,
it would be
huge
to get it right.
If they didn't, if you really sat back with like a panel of like what 10 refs and be like, all right, I would say that it's Nebraska's ball. then you got the ball, and even though you have a 15-yard penalty, you start at the 35. Well, they kept the ball. They got the ball at the 35. So a fourth down stop is like sudden change. A fourth down stop is like a big return after a misplaced punt. It's sudden change. Because why they call it sudden change? It's a sudden change in momentum. You know, and so Nebraska was always in the second half, especially the second half, was always behind the chains a lot of the times, and behind in like the momentum category, and was never able to get control of the game even after they got up 24-17.
I do want to say this on behalf of Matt Rhule. From my vantage and watching officials with coaches, there's always, and I had this on a panel with some college coaches, and so this is where it comes from, that in every game, one of the coaches has an advantage with the referees. In every single game, it's never 50-50. It's never 50-50. Relationships, veteran coaches tend to have a point. Nick Saban always had three calls a game that Nick Saban's going to get or that won't be called against his team simply because. Urban Meyer used to talk about that his coaching value, he knew he was plus 3.5 points because of the way he talked to officials.
Mm-hmm.
And in watching Brett Bielema and Matt Rhule, I can tell you that the conversations were different on the Nebraska side than they were on the Illinois side.
What do you mean?
Matt Rhule was having to work four times as hard as Brett Bielema with the officials. The officials would react and respond.
Yeah.
They tolerated Matt Rhule.
But Matt Rhule's not a tyrant on there. I know that,
he's very animated, but right. Brett Bielema has been in the Big Ten outside of his pit stops in the NFL at Arkansas. Like,
Bielema was talking to them.
Yeah, they're on like
Matt Rhule had on this pitch and sell. Salesman.
You saying that they're essentially on a six pack of beer.
Hey, man. Yeah. It's like, hey, Jack, let's get this right, bro. I got you, Bill. I got you.
That happens also from. I'll tell this story here. I'll never forget this, man. And I want to look up. I'm gonna look up this ref. And you know, I always feel like the refs have a hard job. They have the human element, and you can make missed calls, and that's fine. But there's some really bad calls over the history of sports that are really bad. I mean, heck, if you think about the difference of legacies and Super Bowls. The missed offensive pass interference with the Dallas Cowboys, and I think it was Drew Pearson up there at the Met. If you go back and watch the push off, that was horrible. But it affects it. The Vikings going to win the Super Bowl, I can almost guarantee.
Is that Nate Wright?
Nate, and he was locked down. And also, a lot of those guys on that team are already in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of things that go into it, but I also know that like this, I remember playing in Houston. And we weren't going to playoffs that year, but we were really good on defense. And it was like my second, well, every year we're there, we were good on defense. And the refs had been, like, it was literally 10 penalties to one. And we weren't a high penalty team. We just weren't very good, especially on offensive. Like, offensively, we weren't good. But they had, like, two or three pass interferences and just were giving, you know, everybody's booing because it's egregious at this point. And I remember there was one ump, I'd see him, and I'd talk to him every once in a while. And he looked at me, and he's like, man. And I was kind of arguing with him. I was like, hey, man, did you not just see the dude just tackle me right there? Like, did you not just see him, like, literally tackle me? And he pretty much said, like, yeah, I saw it. But he's like, y'all ain't going to playoffs, so it don't matter. So you ain't get. He's pretty much, he said, you ain't getting that call. Y'all ain't going to playoffs. Y'all ain't good.
Miss me with that.
Yeah. So you know what I did. I just did a bout face, went back to him, and I just was going. I was cussing at him so much that Jamie Sharper had to come into the game and we had to take somebody out of the game and call the defense. I was giving him work. But not saying that happened on Saturday night, but it can be swayed. That's where the human element is. It's not right. And so Nebraska's going to have to fight some of those things. And
it won't happen in every game.
It won't. But you got to play a little bit cleaner. So this should be inspiration to understand. And this also goes into it a little bit with the players. And I know for a fact that from Matt Rhule being in the NFL and you get a report. I know this for a fact. This is from experience of being in the NFL and working in with the Houston. Every week you get a rundown on the refs, what their tendencies are, what they call, what they do as a crew, what they've done the last 4 weeks. I know that for a fact. I'd be willing to bet that they brought that type of knowledge to college, like their experience in the NFL for these players. So if they're getting that in their game plan, you got to know what you're doing because they're giving you answers to some of the tests. Like if there's if Austin is a ump and he's big on, you know, calling, you know, defensive holding, right? There was a time where defensive holding, we knew this, right? So the way that we combated in the NFL, a guy that would do defensive holding, because what happens in defensive holding, if they would try to slip up to the linebacker, you just give them a little tug from the nose guard. So what we did was we changed the way we played our gaps integrity, and it worked out anyways. But we didn't do it until we found out. We only did it with the knowledge of what we had. So if the players are getting these type of knowledge, now this isn't taken away from what DP is saying, but that's how much you have to be. When I talk about you have to be on it, when you play against a good team, when you play against like-minded teams, and really, to be honest with you, for everybody out there, from number 14 to, let's say, from number 16's ranked team to 50, it's really not big a difference in teams, and it might be one or two more players. Now, as you start to get up towards 16 from 50, it goes from probably like you probably got 4 to 6 different players than them. But if you have a better team element, you're able to rise up through there. So there's not a big difference in the teams, right? So when you get off the bus, you might be ranked number 18. You might be playing the number, 40th ranked team. There is no difference. They got big dudes. They got fast dudes. They might not have the depth, but they got good players. So you have to be on it. Everything in the game plan, every situation in the football game, anything and everything can happen. You have to be on it. That's why. You have to know situational football. You got to know situational football inside of it. You got to also be able to communicate effectively from a player to a coach. So if DP's my coach and I'm not feeling comfortable with something, I have to forget halftime. You know, everybody's talking about adjustments at halftime. Man, halftime goes by so quick, you can barely go in there and use the bathroom, get a couple of Gatorades, get you a couple of like orange slices, and you headed back out there. There ain't a lot of like, You ain't going over like 50 plays at halftime. You up here thinking like, okay, what did they do? What has hurt us? So to make halftime more efficient, you got to communicate as a player. DP has to know whether I don't care if he's at the damn box upstairs or on the damn moon. Pick up the phone and call him and say, "Yo, this is what the hell they're doing." Or
what are you seeing?
Or there's three linemen in my damn face. Or the defensive end or linebackers are getting blown the hell off the ball. I can't see as a linebacker. Or if you're a D lineman, you know, if I'm a D lineman, say, "Hey, look, man, I'm getting double teamed. You better get somebody in downhill and get in there and get to make some plays. Double teamed right here.
This isn't working."
That's what needs to happen. That's the adjustment right there. You know what I mean? Take the cotton balls out your mouth. Yeah. Start communicating both ways and stop sitting here and receiving stuff and waiting for somebody to tell you what to do. Instead of that, go do it. Talk to him. "Hey, look, man. Hey, what's going on in cover four? What are you seeing?" I mean, when I came off the field, I was blessed. I had Jamie Burrow or whatever. We all kind of just met, and then Coach Bo would come over there and be like, "Hey, you see anything?" I was like, "Well, we already talked about it 8 times, but this is what we saw out there." And then he would relay it to Charlie or George or something.
Well, the on-the-field folks, first of all, the on-the-field leadership communicating to the people around him that you're working with, the linebacker group, whoever the captain is, communicating with the people on the field, and then communicating that to the coaches who aren't on the sideline. The ones on the sideline is one conversation. But the people up in the booth, who have eyes and ears, that's why they're up there. Y'all, that communication line from the booth down to the leadership?
It's got to be both. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's got to be both. I mean, some of the conversations I've had on that dang phone.
Oh.
Hey, man. I remember one time I called Vic Fangio up. He's like, "What do you see?" And I just say, "Hey, look, man, whatever you calling, it ain't working.
That ain't it.
Do something." Hey. And he was like, "What do you mean?" I just hung that thing up. Hung the phone up. And then I was like, then I walked away and I was like, you know what? That probably wasn't the best decision. Right. Went, picked up the phone and I was like, all right, man, I'm calmed down. He was like, okay, well, he's like, then he started going off on me and he's like, all right, now we're even. So let's figure it out. We end up winning the game, but so those are the things. Now I don't know what's going on. I can't say that, but I know that people are talking about adjustments at halftime. What makes halftime more efficient is communication in football or in a lot of things just can't be one way. You can't sit there. So if DP's the coach, the coordinator, Austin's the linebacker coach, and I'm the player. It is your job to coach me. It is your job to come up with answers, but it's our job to win the game because we're in it together. Right. We're out there in the damn heat. I guess I'm hitting everybody or whatever, but it's our job. Austin can't help me if I don't help myself and help Austin. Austin can't help DP that's up there looking at a call sheet, trying to communicate through the communication device down to a 19, 20 year old kid. And the go-between could talk to DP in a different language, which is coaching language, about certain things. Certain calls, certain situations that you guys have spent probably 60, 70 hours that week talking about the game differently than me in the heat of the battle, because that's where you're the filter.
With other stuff on your plate as well.
Right.
Well, and asking you're the what I'm missing. Asking Austin what I'm missing.
Right.
Like, what am I missing? Like, because all the stuff we talked about in film study and at practice, something's missing. So what am I missing? And Austin's ability to fill the gap and clean up the blind spot.
Here's my experience. Yep. This is what I'm seeing.
Yep.
Doesn't match.
And it probably did happen, but those are like, when I'm talking about this, I'm giving you like a deep dive on all the things that go on in a game. And that's why people was like, after a game, I don't know how people go out. I used to be exhausted. Like, yo, you just didn't rant because your mind is going. You're emotionally in the game. You're physically in the game. You're spiritually in the game. You got anxiety. You got, obviously you play. You want to play angry. You got to be on the borderline of crazy. You know what I'm saying? There are highs and lows of the game. You want to win the game. All this other stuff is going on, and then you got to try to communicate effectively in a high pressure situation when there's 90,000 people in there, but you're really only trying to communicate with 10 of them. I mean, obviously the players that you play with, but in the linebacker room, there's generally about 10 of you guys in there. There's two coaches and then 8 players that generally could play. So it's a lot. And so that's to kind of nullify the whole adjustment things. And you also have to understand that other teams are allowed to make adjustments and they're going to play better in the second half. Because if they didn't play better in the second half, Nebraska wins by 28 points. That's why the games get tighter, because teams are like, number one, either you're playing it, to come back and try to win, or trying to, like in Colorado's case, trying to get something positive leading into next week. A perfect example of making adjustments is if you looked at last year, Ohio State, when they played Indiana. Ohio State got up early on Indiana. Well, Indiana changed their whole game plan for Tom Allen not to get beat really, really bad. It wasn't even to win the game, because he knew he wasn't going to win the game. So that's how things can change, and that's how the narrative on, Ohio State's offense, even after the Notre Dame game, wasn't up to standard. And so, I guess we'll take a quick break, come back. You got Marcus Hatfield?
I do indeed.
All right, after this break, we're going to talk about offense, because that's what everybody wants to talk about. Offense. I don't even remember the offense playing. I was so focused on the team. That's a day shade. Hey, man, I guarantee Tony White going to see me put me in a headlock. He's like, why are you up here watching the defense? Oh, that's because that's the only thing I know. I know a little offense, but I think the defense could be good enough to where they could have, pulled that game out. But it's also a compliment to him. You didn't play well and still had a chance to win and gave us a chance to win. So anyways, Jay Foreman, DP Austin, we'll be right back.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.